Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We're now simulcasting live at PrisonPlanet.tv in the third and fourth hour of this syndicated radio transmission. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex Jones. Our websites are PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital will be joining us coming up here in a few minutes. Well, this from Slashdot today, and it's also in several other news articles. Amtrak photo contestant arrested by Amtrak police all over the nation. You'll have a chemistry professor arrested because he has a chemistry set at his house, and a neighbor or a carpet cleaner saw it and thought he was a terrorist. You'll have many famous cases of students who are out doing a photo journalism class of bridges or of buildings or of architecture, period, and they get arrested. This is how they're using the war on terror to create this paranoia. We've had New York police walk up and say, turn your video cameras off during a protest. You could be terrorist. That camera is a gun. So just tyranny. And it goes on to say photographer Dwayne Kurzik was standing on the public platform in New York's Penn Station taking pictures of trains in hopes of winning an annual photo contest that Amtrak had been running since 2003. Amtrak police arrested him for refusing to delete the photos when asked, though they later charged him with trespassing. Obviously, there is a lack of communication between Amtrak's marketing department, which promotes the annual contest called Picture Our Trains, and its police department, which has a history of harassing photographers for photographing the same trains. Not much different than the JetBlue incident from earlier this year when JetBlue flight attendants had a woman arrested for refusing to delete a video she filmed in flight while the JetBlue marketing department hosted a contest encouraging passengers to take photos in flight. Kurzik's blog has an account of the arrest on December 21st and the aftermath, and we're going to get him on the show. And this happens all over the place. I mean, you'll be taking pictures out of the plane window with your little snapshot camera, and I've had the flight attendant walk over and say, don't take pictures in here. And this is all just part of the First Amendment being attacked. It has nothing to do with terrorism and how they're using this to put a chilling effect on free speech and alternative media gathering. And now they're trying to pass a law in England where you're a terrorist if you take pictures of police, period, so you can't videotape them or photograph them beating people up. Okay. Until the bottom of the hour, we have Peter Schiff on with us, and I want to go through some of the economic numbers that are coming out. He and many others have been predicting we could go into a depression in the next few years, but now Mainline, Economist Magazine, and Gordon Brown, Prime Minister of England yesterday, said that we're already in a depression. So Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital, do you think we're already going into a depression?
Well, unfortunately, I think we are. I think the government is leading us into a depression. I don't think it had to be a depression. I think it had to be a very severe recession, because we have a lot of problems in our economy that have been building for, more than a generation, but in particular, during the Greenspan era and since the bursting of the dot-com bubble, we have some serious imbalances that need to be addressed. And a lot of these problems are the result of monetary and fiscal mismanagement and excessive regulation. We need to allow the market to work and to function. And unfortunately, the government is not doing that. The government is simply, exacerbating the problem. They're leading us deeper into debt. They're making our economy less efficient and less productive. And they are in the process of creating a depression, which I think will be an inflationary depression, which is going to be particularly painful for ordinary Americans.
Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital. We're going to break. When we come back, though, you predicted this years ago, and so you've been getting a lot of media attention because of your accurate predictions. I want to get your projections, your forecast, into the future of how you see this unfolding with the current government operations we see now versus what could happen if we tried to put the brakes on their spending. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Peter Schiff. We'll also cover some of the latest economic news. Stay with us.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the new world order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
The United States is bankrupt, and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Actually, have Peter Schiff with us for the rest of the hour. We'll open the phones up. Your financial questions at the bottom of the hour, 1-800-259-9231. We'll be giving out Mr. Schiff's Euro-Pacific website as well, and we'll post it on screen for everybody out there that is watching. Okay, Mr. Schiff, I think it's important, since we've got plenty of time with you today, and we're thankful for that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, some of the predictions and projections, forecasts you've made accurately. I think it's important to recap those. I could go over some of them, but you could do it better than I because you made them. And then some people take seriously what you're saying. Let's move forward then into your forecast on the depression and exactly why that's being exacerbated and accelerated by the policies, like a $50-something million bailout. They're talking about for the auto industry, so Ford and Chevy and others can move to Brazil. Peter Schiff.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically, I've been pointing out for a number of years the problems, the underlying problems with our economy. And, you know, what we're experiencing now is not the problem. What we're finally experiencing are the consequences of the problem. And the problem has been building, as I said, for years and years. And basically, you know, the roots of the problem, you can probably trace them back to abandoning the gold standard in 1971, because when we took the dollar off the gold standard, And the world continued to accept the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency as if it were still backed by gold. That put us in a unique position as a nation where we could pay for our imports by printing money. We didn't have to pay for our imports with exports, and we didn't have to pay for them with gold. We could just print money. And that really started this process that culminated, you know, in, you know, after the dot-coms, I think, from 2001, 2002 until 2008, we basically went through the mania of the blow-off stage of this phony economy. But what happened is we began to deindustrialize and we began to move into a service sector economy because we were able to import all the things that we didn't produce by printing money and sending it abroad. And our creditors were willing to hang on to the money we printed. And they didn't look to actually spend it on real stuff. And so the economy began to evolve, this consumer-based economy. But in order to keep it growing, we had to keep on taking on ever-increasing quantities of debt, which the world was willing to supply us. And, you know, of course, with the housing bubble, which when I was very critical there, that's what enabled Americans to borrow money on an unprecedented scale. I mean, we raised it, you know, to an art form where we were borrowing, you know, literally trillions of dollars from the world, and we were just blowing it all on massive consumption. And our trade deficit, you know, during the this decade, you know, went from, you know, what used to be a pretty bad, you know, 10, 12 billion a month up to 60 billion, 70 billion a month. And, this was completely unsustainable. And then, you know, you had, you know, half of the income from the S&P 500 was being generated, from finance, from financial services. And it was all an illusion. And I saw all the risks that were being taken, on Wall Street and all the speculation on Main Street. I knew that our whole banking system was a house of cards because I knew that the assets, were phony because the assets were mortgages. And I knew that the people who were borrowing money, there's no way they could pay it back.
Sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is so strong. Will you back off your phone?
Oh, okay, sure.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you. Absolutely. But, and then on top of that, the big banks and brokerage firms then took the security-backed assets, the mortgage loans, and sold those as basically good as gold.
Well, they had to sell them because we don't have any savings. I mean, this whole securitization process was a way to put together American borrowers with all the world's savers. I mean, you can only borrow money from somebody who saved it. And so this process enabled Wall Street to put the Japanese and the Chinese together with the Americans. But all we were doing was borrowing money. And, you know, the Chinese, and you know, they were dumb enough to lend it to us. They thought they were going to get it back. But, you know, they're not going to get it back because we spent the money. We have no way of paying it back. It wasn't put to a productive use. It was spent. But anyway, so I knew that this was going to end badly. This phony credit bubbled economy, based on consumer spending and debt was going to collapse. And that's what's begun. Now, when I was warning about it, I was more fearful, not of the collapse, but of the things that the government would do to try to interfere with the collapse, to try to reflate the bubble, to try to return us to the consumer spending economy that is the source of our problems. And that is exactly what the government is trying to do. And in so doing, what they're really doing is pouring gasoline on a raging fire, and it is going to, you know, basically engulf the entire country and burn it to the ground. And every time the fire gets bigger, they're going to pour more gasoline on it. What we need, the only way that America is going to get back on the right track, is to have consumers stop spending. We need to rebuild savings. We need capital to be made available to business, not government, so that business can use it to produce the factories of the future, to employ the workers that are losing their jobs in services and finance. We need to allow the free market to work, and it's going to involve a lot of pain because all this artificial living, all this living beyond our means and indulging our every whim and buying things we can't afford, that's got to come to an end. And it's not going to be an easy process. And during the process, asset prices are going to be marked down. Stock prices need to go lower. Real estate prices need to go lower. People, that's not going to sit well with a lot of people who thought they were going to get rich on asset appreciation, but we need to go back to reality. But what the government is going to do is they're going to prevent all this from happening. They're going to prevent us from getting out of this hole. They're going to dig it deeper. They're trying to encourage more reckless consumption. The entire purpose of the stimulus package and all the bailouts is to keep Americans going to the mall, to keep us reaching for our charge cards, buying more stuff. They want us borrowing more money to buy more houses. They want us borrowing more money to buy more cars. That is the exact opposite of what we need to do. And what they are setting up is the real crisis that I've been warning about. It's going to be a collapse in the value of the dollar. It's coming. It's coming soon. And when the dollar collapses, you're going to see interest rates spiral out of control. You're going to see consumer prices spiraling out of control. And then we're going to be in a real crisis. Because, see, right now, the government is bailing everybody out and easing the pain. But when the bond market collapses, it's the U.S. government that's going to need a bailout, and there's nobody big enough to do it.
Peter Schiff, what is the time frame? And I know these are liquid and move back and forth, but most of the experts we talk to, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and Bob Chapman and the head of the Newark Business School and countless others, say that what government is doing is accelerating the time frame and bringing the total collapse, the what I call hyper-stagflation, closer to reality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's hard to say, you know, exactly timing. I mean, timing is a very difficult thing to do, especially when there's so much irrationality in the world and there's so much manipulation, there's so many people with vested interests. So you can never know the timing. Look, we had this huge dollar rally in 2008. That bought us a lot of time. I didn't anticipate that we'd have that big dollar rally. Maybe in hindsight, it's something I should have anticipated, because in the short run, it seems like the opposite of what should happen always happens, because the majority of people seem to always get it wrong, and they do the wrong thing, when they initially are confronted with information. But once this dollar rally really loses steam and begins to fall apart, it's going to take on a lot of momentum.
And that's
now,
starting to happen.
See what's happening. But... yeah, look at the bond market. I mean, this is... the bond market has been dropping every day this year. In fact, so far, 2009 is the worst year in history for the U.S. bond market. It's the worst year, even though we've only finished 1 month of the year.
And
if this continues, this could be the beginning of the unraveling.
And the worst year in stocks ever.
Well, it's the worst January in stocks ever, yes. But it's not the worst year. But it's already the worst year in bonds. I mean, January was worse than any entire year that preceded it. That's how bad it was.
Okay, so what's the furthest it could be pushed out until, I mean, the layoffs, hundreds of thousands a month, the store shutdowns, and now the bubble in the real estate market is starting to implode. The credit card debt is starting to implode. I mean, is all these things combined with the already circling black hole, what, a year till it's riots in the streets, 2 years?
I don't know. I mean, I've talked about the potential for riots, and I think that exists, and looting, and I think what would cause that would be shortages of food and blackouts, and I think that it is possible that we will see that because the government is unleashing massive inflation, and ultimately the inflation that they're creating is going to cause surging prices, particularly for things like food and energy. And if the government is going to stick to form, they are going to attack the symptoms and not the disease, which is the rising prices. And the only way governments ever attack rising prices is through price controls, which is what we did in the 1970s. And since we're repeating all the mistakes of the 1930s, I'm sure we'll repeat the mistakes of the 1970s. And if we have price controls, we're going to have shortages. And if we have shortages, we're going to have problems. We're going to have crime. And, of course, I think it's going to come at a time, you know, where the cities are not going to have the money and the resources to pay for additional police protection. If not, they might have to cut back on the police protection they have now. And obviously, you know, the criminals will figure that out.
Well, Peter, that was my next question. When we come back, I want to get into that. The states are on the verge of bankruptcy. CalPERS, for those that don't know, the big pension fund system in California, formerly one of the biggest economies in the world, what, number 8 in the world itself, just that fund, not California itself, but just the fund. They're talking about that going bankrupt. They're doing emergency rainy day funds just to continue the checks going out. The welfare checks are in danger of not going out. That'll be a riot within a week, the Pentagon has predicted in reports they've done. So I want to talk to Peter Schiff about that when we get back. I'm Alex Jones. Our websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We come back, we'll tell you Peter's website as well and put that on screen. He's with Euro-Pacific Capital and has done a great job in the last decade predicting exactly what we're entering into and what the government would do as a response. We'll also get into a lot of other issues as well. Stay with us.
Rough roads might be ahead for the economy, but your vehicle doesn't have to experience them. Can't afford a new vehicle or even an expensive repair? Now you can take care of your vehicle with Protecta Engine Oil Booster by SFR, which is a fully synthetic oil booster. Protecta Engine Oil Booster fortifies your motor oil to help your engine last longer. Protecta Engine Oil Booster has been tested by independent laboratories and proven in over 1 million vehicles worldwide. We'll give you enough Protecta Engine Oil Booster for 5 complete oil changes for only $22.95. That's enough for 2 vehicles for up to 1 year. Start taking care of your vehicle today. Take advantage of this limited time offer and receive free shipping. Protecta Engine Oil Booster is the last defense against engine wear. Go to oilcompanysecret.com or call 1-888-873-7371. That's oilcompanysecret.com or 888-873-7371. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 888-873-7371 or visit oilcompanysecret.com.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
As we've been tragic on the wine spread, much too long to rebuild.
Europac.net is our guest website, Europac.net. There's also a gorgeous website pushing him for president that fans have put up. This is one of the guys that Ron Paul has said is one of the people he learns a lot from. Peter Schiff, again, is our guest. Peter, let's get into it right now. You talked about police agencies not having enough money. They swole the size of police agencies from 500,000 to several million in the last decade. Now the police admit they're out writing more tickets and fines and fees to try to raise money. But of the people, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip or a stone, as the old sayings go. The states are talking about going bankrupt. The pension funds, the state pension funds, the police pension funds. I mean, if all of that goes bankrupt, what are we, or even part of it, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, look, it's tough. Look, this is the natural consequence of all this debt, all this borrowing to consume. And that's how come, you know, our economy was phony. We were paying for it by going into debt. And everybody, you know, when I would bring this up and talk about all the debt, people would criticize me by saying, look, I'm only looking at half the balance sheet. I'm not looking at all the assets. And so we have all these assets, so the debt is okay. Well, what were the assets? The assets were stocks and real estate. But what good are those assets? I mean, it's not like we can hock them all to the Chinese. You know, we have to pay interest on the debt. And if we can't service the debt, it doesn't matter about the assets. And, of course, when you have to sell your assets, the prices collapse. I mean, our houses are only worth a lot of money, assuming that nobody wants to sell them. But the minute everybody needs to sell their house, there's nobody to buy it. What's your house worth? It's worth a fraction of what we were pretending it was worth when we tried to pretend that all this debt didn't matter. But it does matter. And now the bills are coming due and we can't pay. In the meantime, you know, what made us wealthy in the first place, our industrial might, our ability to produce, you know, that's gone because we've been living off the productivity of everybody else as we've been accumulating all this debt.
Looking specifically at CalPERS out in California and other states, where do you see the biggest problem? What do you see to be the next domino to fall? States going bankrupt? I saw a headline in mainstream news yesterday of 48 states may go into bankruptcy.
California is, I think, on the verge, if they haven't already done so, of paying some of their bills with IOUs. And, you know, ultimately, I think Barack Obama, you know, and the government have mentioned a desire to give money to the states. And I think some of this new bailout bill, stimulus bill, whatever they call it, that they're passing, I think it has some money for the states so that the states don't have to make cuts. Well, that's the wrong thing to do. The states need to make cuts. The states are bloated. You know, we need reductions there. If we're just going to print money and give it to the states so they don't make necessary cuts, we're just making the underlying problems worse.
And that's just going to inflate the currency more, isn't it?
Well, that's all they're doing. They have to print money. Now, they're hoping that they can keep borrowing the money from the Chinese and the Japanese and the Saudis. But the world is suffering right now from all the money they loaned us in the past that we can't pay back. Why should they sign up to loan us even more?
Could it get to Zimbabwean level?
It could. I mean, there's no difference between our money and theirs. It's just paper. And I'm hoping it doesn't get that bad, but it will get that bad if we do not change course. We need to make a conscious decision to reverse our course and to accept whatever pain the recession is going to dole out, because there's no way around it. It's trying to avoid the pain, trying to accept from dealing with reality. That's why you end up with a hyperinflation scenario, because you refuse to bite the bullet. And so instead, you die from the wound.
Yeah, I've got a list of the $900 billion now stimulus package, and it's for cities to build new golf courses, like right here in Austin, a river walk.
Think about how ridiculous that sounds. We are in an economic, we're in trouble, right? We've borrowed and spent too much money. We need to, you know, to dig in our horns. We need to sacrifice. We need to save more and stop spending. And what's their solution? Build more golf courses? I mean, they got to be crazy. How is another golf course going to make us more productive? We need a factory. We need to make things. We don't need more golf courses. You know, we've got plenty of golf courses.
Well, people aren't going to have money to spend at the golf course.
Well, we don't have the money to build the golf courses. How are we going to use the golf courses to pay for our exports? I mean, are the Japanese really going to fly over here to play golf in our courses so that we can pay? You know, this is nonsense.
Well, also, this is a global implosion. I mean, Japan's on the edge of the abyss. Russia's plunging into it. China's growth rate is projected to go from 10% to 4%.
I mean, more golf courses. I mean, why don't we build more polo fields? And how about marinas so we have more places to put our yachts?
Sir, that's actually in there.
Broke.
I mean, it's actually in there for yacht marinas. So they are going to do that. Because, you know, they've stolen all this money from us. They're going to need to park their yacht somewhere. Peter Schiff, stay with us. We'll be right back with more key information and your calls.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now or get the DVD at InfoWars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Do you have aches and pains or suffer from indigestion or inflammation? Are you tired of feeling restless from insomnia? These symptoms are produced by harmful toxins, but with the correct information, understanding, and care, you can cleanse them from your body. AloeMaster.com would like to help you begin the road to recovery with aloe vera. For over 4,000 years, aloe vera has been known for its therapeutic and healing properties and is widely recognized as the plant that helps alleviate minor burn. AloeMaster.com picks the best aloe leaves and produces the most potent aloe vera concentrated juices and freeze-dried capsules you can find. AloeMaster.com offers products with 10 times the potency of ordinary aloe products, enhancing the benefits of this ancient cleansing plant. Turn over a new leaf and visit us today at AloeMaster.com. That's AloeMaster.com. Or call us at 1-800-934-ALOE. That's 1-800-934-2563 today.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
TheObamaDeception.net, that's our new website for the Obama film that I'm making. Your phone call's coming up here in a few minutes with Peter Schiff, acclaimed economic researcher, writer, and of course he also manages a multi-billion dollar fund. Mr. Schiff, specifically Barack Obama, whether he's a nice guy or a bad guy, we know he's appointing more globalists, more of the same people. Timothy Geithner, who engineered much of the economic crises we now see, who lobbied to get rid of the different acts in the 1990s that allowed all of this derivative manipulation to expand, as you know, but for the audience, he is now coming out and saying Obama warns of catastrophe without stimulus, without these, literally here in Austin, frisbee golf courses. You couldn't make this up. Yacht clubs, political payoffs, buying off churches. I mean, this is just a big political payoff, the biggest pork ever seen. Of course, it's this $900 billion distraction compared to the trillions the Federal Reserve has taken. They won't say where it's gone, but I want you to talk about that separately. Barack Obama, A, what do you think of what he's doing? He lobbied for the original banker bailout, and now he's criticizing the banker bailout. I mean, how hypocritical is that, him claiming he's not involved in the October 3rd banker bailout, but he was actually instrumental in honchoing it through Congress We have the video clips to prove it of him on the floor of the Senate. And where do you see all this going?
These guys had the guts. I mean, McCain. I was on Kudlow's show yesterday. McCain was on, and you know he's talking against the bailout. But I mean, he made a point that he stopped his campaign to go back to Washington to vote for it. And you know, and now he's against it. But you know, first I just want to correct something that you said. I don't manage a fund. I own a brokerage firm, Euro Pacific Capital. We're a brokerage firm. Individual investors, you know, open up accounts with me. They can invest in foreign stocks, domestic stocks if they want. We sell precious metals. But we're just a full service retail investment firm. I don't manage any money at all.
Got it.
Yeah. Although I am starting, I just actually set up a registered investment advisor. So it is my intention to start managing money, but I haven't managed any to date except my own. But in any event, what's happening right now, you know, with Obama and government in general is they are using this economic crisis as a means to get a big government agenda passed, and this is playing right into their hands. It's music to their ears. Politicians love a crisis, especially when they can say the only solution is more government. And unfortunately, the crisis is going to get worse because
Peter,
the
stop.
More government we get, the bigger
Peter,
the problems.
Stop.
And of course, that is exactly what the government wants. The worse they make the economy, the more justification they have to get even more powerful and even more government. So
Peter,
they can't lose. The politicians can't lose. The worse
Peter,
they make it, the better they off they are.
Peter, say that again in your own words. You're really overdriving on the phone. I need you to back off again. I'm sorry to stop you. I mean, flesh that out. Take your time explaining that because that's key, and explain why this is actually good for them but not for the rest of us. Go ahead.
Right. Well, if you look at the government, is like a parasite or a cancer, and the rest of us, you know, are the host. And you know, what's good for the parasite is not necessarily good for the host. They want to get bigger, and they're going to feed off of us. And the more government they create to solve the problem, the bigger the problem is going to become. And so, the worse they make the economy, the more they create the need for government solutions to solve it. And so the government can't lose in this situation unless, of course, we vote them out. But in general, we won't do that. I mean, Roosevelt proved that. He got elected, four times, despite the fact that he kept making the situation worse because he got the voters so fearful that the only thing standing between them and starvation was Roosevelt and the big government. And so the worse they can make the economy and the more dependent we think we are on government, the less likely we are to throw them out. It's like they're the slaves and they're the masters and they make the slaves think that we're dependent on them. So and this is a very dangerous time to be an American because they are going to seize a lot of control and a lot of power and we're going to lose a lot of individual liberties that we may never get back. And our economy is going to continue to move away from a market-based economy to a centrally planned economy, and economic decisions and resources are going to be allocated and invested not based on individual entrepreneurs seeking profits, but politicians seeking votes. And this is not how to have a vibrant, efficient economy where living standards grow. This is the recipe for disaster.
Yeah, this has not been the free market or American way. And that brings me specifically to the fact they blame this on the free market. They say the free market did this, and then Gordon Brown and Barack Obama come out and say we have to merge the free market with government socialism, with more regulation, when they didn't even follow their own regulations, and when the government paid corporations tax incentives to move offshore. So, I mean, all of this being set up, and now they come in to the rescue for a problem they engineered to begin with.
Yeah, it's always, you know, the free market always takes the blame when you introduce government into the market. And then there's a problem. It's always the capitalism that gets the blame, but it's not capitalism. It's the government mixed in. It's the mixture of socialism and capitalism. See, capitalism doesn't work when government interferes. I mean, there are a lot of natural forces that make capitalism work, but the government comes in and gets in the way of those forces. It circumvents them. And it leads to the excess of risk-taking and the excess of leverage that never would have come into existence but it were not for government intervention. And, of course, they come into the market and they subsidize something and they tax something else. So they interfere with rational decision-making and they micromanage and they cause businesses and individuals to do things that absent government regulation, they wouldn't have done. And so they blow up all these bubbles, and then the bubbles burst. And then when we have a problem, they say, oh, you see, it's because of capitalism. When if it was really a capitalist economy, we never would have had the bubbles, and so they would never have to burst.
Peter, I specifically want you to speak to Obama, though. I mean, what was it like for you to watch him on television helping ram through the banker takeover bill that gave him all these trillions and anonymity and secrecy, and then months later they're saying we've got to have another bailout now, and he's on TV criticizing the bankers and brokerage firms for giving themselves record bonuses? I mean, how stupid does he think the public is?
It's like what did they think they were going to do with that money? Right? I mean, what did they think they were going to do with it? I mean, you know, they gave them a bunch of money. They didn't think they were going to pay themselves, you know? I mean, that's how these guys work. You know, so it's amazing you're playing with, you know, with a snake, and the snake bites you and you're surprised. You know, I mean,
But more than that, Obama got, depending on which index you look at, Obama got four times the Wall Street money that John McCain got in campaign donations. His cabinet is filled with the very group that engineered under Clinton the changes that we now see coming to fruition. I mean, can you speak to that, to have him claiming he's against the banking establishment and the brokerage firms and the derivatives people when he really is their man?
Yeah, well, look, this is how politicians are. That's politics. You know, and unfortunately, you know, the economic problems that were a consequence of bad government policy, mainly the Federal Reserve. I mean, look at all the new powers that the Federal Reserve has now, specifically because of the problems that they helped create. You know, it's like, you know, all we do is we turn over the keys of the asylum to the inmates, and that's what's going on.
You made a point earlier, but I'd like you to expand on that, and then we're going to take some phone calls, that they love what's happening. That the fact that the crisis is deepening allows them to expand their powers. Flesh that out a bit.
Well, I mean, this is what happens with government. I mean, government, you know, they can grow when there is a crisis or an emergency. I mean, if you look at all throughout history, all the additional powers that the government usurped over the years, all the new taxes that they were able to pass, it was always during some type of crisis, some type of emergency. In general, it's a war, you know, and the governments are generally able to do things in wartime that they can never do in peacetime because people don't oppose them, because they always make it about the war. And therefore, anybody who opposes what they're doing they try to make it out like, well, they don't care. I mean, or, you know, how can you oppose new taxes when there are people dying, you know, in a war? I mean, at least you're not on the front. You can at least support the troops by paying more taxes, and they appeal to your patriotism. And so the government's allowed to usurp a lot of power. And then, of course, when the wars end, they never give up the extra power, the wartime powers or the wartime taxes. They just find new ways to spend the money. So once the war is over, they don't have to spend the money on the military, but they spend it on something else. They don't give it back, you know.
Mr. Schiff, was it economic terrorism? Mr. Schiff, I see it as economic terrorism to have Barack Obama, John McCain, and others cheerleading around on television back in October of 2008 saying you've got to pass the banker takeover bailout bill or we're going to have a depression next week. And then they pass the bill on Friday, Bush signs it on Saturday, and the Treasury Secretary says now we're not using it to unclog the subprime mortgages and the derivatives that came out of it. We're not going to tell you what we're going to spend it for. I mean, now they're back terrorizing us again.
Yeah, saying, I mean, it was really basically a bait and switch is what it was, you know, the whole time. And, you know, I criticized the plan when they first proposed it. I said it wouldn't work. Because it was impossible to buy these troubled assets because you'd have to overpay for them. Otherwise, you would bankrupt all the entities you were trying to bail out. So there was no way the government could make a profit on it. But if you remember, the way they sold it to us, you know, when it didn't pass and the Dow Jones dropped about 1,000 points, I think it went from 13,000 to 12,000 or something, they said, aha, you see, the Dow collapsed because we didn't pass it. So now we need to pass it to help the stock market. Well, they passed it, and the Dow is less than 8,000 right now. So obviously they tried to convince us that we needed to pass that bill because we had to get the stock market to go back up. But, you know, look where the stock market is now, even though we have the bill.
And now they're claiming that the American people are on the hook for these trillions and trillions of dollars. in interest to the very banks that we loan the money to, and then the banks, the big international banks, won't tell Congress where the money is.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there's no transparency here in this process, and the whole thing is it's corrupted. I mean, right now there's a big debate over executive pay and bonuses, and, you know, can companies take government money and then pay big bonuses? And, you know, this is a debate that we shouldn't even have, because it shouldn't even be an issue, because none of these companies should have got any government money in the first place. They should have been allowed to go bankrupt. But now we bail them out, and now we have the governments getting involved in the decision making. You know, first it's pay. Now they're telling some of these companies they have to cancel some of these sales conferences they had, you know, in Vegas or in Miami. I mean, but this is just the beginning. I mean, the government is going to get involved in every aspect of running these companies. It would have been better to let the companies go bankrupt and let these resources be reallocated in the private sector. Now we're entrenching them in the government sector where they're never going to be efficient.
Let's expand on that. Look what happened with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with quasi government control, and they say that's one of the big sources of all of this. They're saying they're going to get bailouts to auto companies, but then control even who they can sell a car to. So we see the entire economy basically being taken over by government, and then through extension.
Right. And the crazy thing about it is they're saying, look, we want to put strings on the money that we give to Ford and General Motors. We want to tell them how to make cars. We want them to make fuel-efficient cars or something like that. So somehow, Washington, D.C., these guys can't even, you know, make a profit running the post office. You know, that somehow we're going to put the people who are in charge of the post office in charge of the auto industry, and somehow they're going to do a better job than the people who have been running it in the past. I mean, come on, give me a break. The government doesn't have a clue what kind of cars people should make. They don't even know how to make a car to profit. These are decisions that need to be made in the free market by entrepreneurs that have a risk of losing money.
Yes. Peter, I want to go to calls here in the last 10, 15 minutes with you, but before we do that briefly, they know things are imploding. They know they're collapsing, and then, as you said, they're going to be able to consolidate the power and actually use this crisis for themselves at the expense of our civilization. It appears. The 20,000 troops that NORTHCOM says they want to use against the American people, the Army War College saying they're getting ready to engage the American people. These are amazing developments. Bills introduced to merge local police into FEMA centers and FEMA camps for mass relocation. I mean, this is the stuff of conspiracy theory, but it's now front page news. The Wall Street Journal came out last week and said the answer to the imploding economy is a new bubble into a North American Union and a Amero. So your take on that?
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think there's a lot of rumors there and, you know, conspiracy theories, but I don't think the Canadians would be stupid enough to go for it. And I don't think the Canadian citizens would go for it. I mean, there's a lot of resentment of the U.S. So, number one, I don't think Canada's going to do it. So, you know, I don't know that we're going to have a union with Mexico. I mean, I just don't, you know, a union that the U.S. can, you know, coming together with Mexico, I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't seem to think that's in the cards.
Well, they're now proposing.
I think there's more of a chance of our union breaking up. I mean, I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you might see some states, Alaska, Texas, various states, that are trying to break away from the United States and leave. So I think it's more likely that the union we have now gets smaller than that we include other countries.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of government reports saying that that the United States may break up into pieces. Of course, the globalists will love that. They'll just snap up the pieces that are left. Kerry in Georgia, you're on the air with Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital. Go ahead, Kerry, if you want to talk.
I've worked for PrisonPlanet.tv for 3 years, and I love your work. My question for Mr. Schiff, I've noticed that there's been a lot of foreclosed homes in my area, and that they're, you know, now selling for a third of half of the value. And I'm wondering what, you know, I've been making an extra 2.5 payments a year on my mortgage, and I've gotten a lot of equity built up, and I'm wondering what's happening to the equity that is built up in my home.
Well, whether the equity is there or not, I mean, just because you're paying down your mortgage doesn't necessarily mean you're building equity. I don't know what you paid for your house, And I don't know what you can sell it for. I mean, your house, you know, you could have negative equity in your home despite the fact that you've been making all these extra payments. It all depends on what you paid for your home and how much you bought for it. You might have overpaid for it. I don't know.
Yeah, let me give listeners a tip, and then Peter continue. People are going to the bank and making them renegotiate the value of the home, or they're threatening to walk away, and banks are buckling. Peter?
Yeah, look, you know, the borrower has all the cards, particularly the borrower with little or no equity in their homes. You know, you can simply go to your bank and say, look, if you want me to keep making the mortgage payment, you better renegotiate the mortgage. And the key is, in the past, you really couldn't do that because if they renegotiated the mortgage, the difference between what you used to owe and what you owe now would have been taxable income, and you would add a big tax bill. But the government, put a stop to that for 5 years or so. So Americans have a window of opportunity where there's no downside to threatening your lender because you can get a lower mortgage. Worst case scenario, you just walk away. You know, just give the house to the lender, which is what they don't want. But you can give them an asset that has negative value, and there's plenty of houses on the market to rent. I mean, most people would be better off renting anyway. Chances are you can find a home that's as nice or nicer than the one you live in now where the rent is lower than your mortgage.
All right, stay there, Peter. Final segment. We're called straight ahead.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Up on screen at PrisonPlanet.tv, we have the new website, TheObamaDeception.net. TheObamaDeception.net. You can read about the film, watch the trailer in high quality, read articles on Obama, our proof, the straight scoop. Our guest is Peter Schiff. Before he leaves us in about 5 minutes, we'll put his website up on the screen for you, europac.net. Peter, I want to take one or two final calls for you, but just very briefly. Good case scenario, how bad is it going to get? Worst case scenario, how bad will it get? Just summed up.
Well, worst case scenario is really bad. I mean, hyperinflation, our money being worthless, that's bad. I mean, look what happened in Germany, Weimar Republic Germany, when they had hyperinflation. They ended up with Adolf Hitler. You know, I mean, I don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't think it could be that bad, but it just shows you that, you know, bad things can happen when you get a country that's in that bad a shape. I mean, the environment, the economic environment that allowed someone like a Hitler to come to power, he never could have come to power if they didn't have that economic situation. So
because
who knows?
Because there's
a lot of danger to our liberties, to our way of life, based on how bad this thing could get. Best case scenario would be the government comes to its senses at some point. They realize that the stimulus and bailouts are making the situation worse. We reverse course. We cut government spending. We increase interest rates, and we let the chips fall where they may. We suck it up, and we suffer a very severe economic downturn. We stop buying stuff, and we roll up our sleeves and go back to work and rebuild a viable economy. Recapture our role in the world and make a country that our children can be proud of and be prosperous in. I mean, it's not a complete lost cause yet. I mean, we can still hold it. But there's no way to get from where we are now to where we want to be without going through a lot of pain. We can go through more pain if we do it the government's way, or we can go through less pain if we do it the free market way.
And Obama says he's going the government way.
Well, yeah, because that's the only way that they think Obama's out making speeches. He's saying that unless we act, it's going to get a lot worse. You know, it's going to get a lot worse whether we act or not. It's just that if we do act, it's going to get even worse than if we don't act.
Well, we saw that back in October. They passed the banker takeover, and look what happened. Let's talk to Michael and Mash. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Peter, Alex, how's it going today, guys?
Good. We got about a minute and a half.
All right. I want to say something real quick. In order for people to stop listening to the Davos folks, the Bilderberg Group folks, you know, the people who set us up to fail and then try to act like our saviors, it seems to me that in order for people to turn away from them, those people have to come under a certain degree of ridicule and need to be, you know, kind of dethroned in the eyes of the public. And
yeah.
I had an idea for Peter, and I know he's a big friend of Ron Paul. When Ron Paul's in front of the House Banking Committee with Bernanke, why doesn't he just say, "Hey, Ben, what are you guys doing at the Bilderberg Group?" before anything else, you know, happens and you give away any more money?
I videotaped him going in there setting policy last year. Yeah. What about calling for criminal charges for the rules that have been broken, the laws that have been broken, all the insider trading, all the corruption, Peter? I mean, we should be talking about these people being in trouble instead of them posing as the saviors. Peter?
Yeah, look, I mean, we need to confront the Fed about a lot of things that they've done wrong, but unfortunately they've been given even greater power, and now the Federal Reserve works in conjunction with the Treasury, so instead of having an independent central bank, the central bank is totally captured by the politicians. They work, you know, hand in hand with the Treasury Department, and, you know, the whole idea behind the Fed was that it was going to be independent to keep the politicians in check. And now they're able to run amok because the Federal Reserve is basically, going along with the ride.
All right, Peter Schiff, we really appreciate you spending time with us. Take care.
Good thing.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.